Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
I've known many evil places in my time, but this realm, called Barovia, is among the most dangerous. A man could drown here, though he wouldn't need any water to do so. This place is ruled by a man, no, more a creature, actually, known as Strahd von Zarovich. It is said that anyone who can slay him will be set free. If they don't die in the attempt, of course. Gorb and Lushen are covered in bites.
Right.
You can see they're turning green.
Grab both of their, either side of either head, and I cast Lesser Restoration.
Penia. You cast Lesser Restoration?
Penia, please protect these two idiots.
You drag out of them black, awful-looking ichor and bile, and then you throw it into the ground.
Gorb, Lushen, when you're fighting these again, do it from a distance. It's from a distance until we have, until we don't need to do what you did. We don't need to do that.
Gorb and Lushen have nothing to say.
Fair enough.
I also go and check on Iris and maybe the horses.
Fuck, how far has she made it? She's kind of legged it.
Okay.
The horses that bolted are gone.
Yep.
You're not recovering them.
Okay.
Which was all of them?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
You've lost your horses.
Yeah.
You've lost your horses. All right. So you can track down Iris, however, but that's going to be some time. You follow her. Even after the fight, she's not looking behind her. She just keeps running through the snow, so you need to run after her.
And when I can, in earshot, I'll call after her.
It's going to take you a minute, can go do that. All right, Pip, you begin exchanging heads and hearts.
Okay.
You getting anyone else to help?
I don't know if I trust anyone else.
There's a lot.
There are a lot. I'll get Tarpos and Pirin to help. Garb and Lushen are the ones I trust the least anyway, and they need to sit down and rest.
All right. Each of you needs to make 9 checks.
God.
You get a plus one.
Okay. Took it down a little bit, I noticed.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Sorry.
All successes. We nail it every time. Gotta be.
Goddamn bogmen.
Fucking bogmen.
Tarpos's modifier is 9.
Okay.
Maybe they're the best at this.
What check is it?
Medicine.
That makes sense.
And Pirin. What's Pirin's modifier? 2. All right. Takes you a while, but you do it.
Okay.
How many do they know they whiffed?
You know you whiffed a few, but you kept going until you fixed it.
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'll just drag him into a pile and.
All right.
Yeah. Just wait, I guess, for Hector to come back.
Yeah. Hector, you come back. Not long after this.
Right. Okay. I was just like either holding Iris.
Actually, you'd come
or...
back partway through this, to be honest.
Ooh, either holding, like, I don't know, what state is she in? Is it like, do I need to hold her? Do I need to hold her hand?
At a certain point, chasing down Iris, she trips and stumbles in the snow, hitting the ground. She begins to start crawling away. She's unable to get back up onto her feet. It's not so much crawling as it is, well, it is crawling, but one of her arms is fucked. She is half crawling, dragging herself with her good arm. You can hear her sobbing and crying into the snow.
It's okay. The best to calm her down.
You manage to calm her down, and you're able to pick her up, and she's just comatose almost in your arms.
Because I can hold her, right? I know like this, she's got very long arms and legs.
She's
but
very
I,
light.
But
she's
I can
slender,
pick her.
Yeah.
I'll pick her up and, make sure that she's not seeing what we're seeing.
She's shivering
just
into
like,
your
if
arms.
If I can, just put her into my, shoulder and just be like, it's going to be all right.
It starts snowing again.
It's
God damn it.
Going to be okay.
By the time you get back to the group, the snow is mixed with rain. Mm. It looks like two different levels of cloud cover have commingled to cause an awful... It creates a lot of ice because the snow falls down, or the water, sorry, falls down, becomes liquid water. The snow chills it so that it's... Your footsteps become incredibly treacherous. Every time you step down, it's snow, ice.
How far are we from...
Salenka Pass.
No, I was going to say the wagon.
Oh, right.
The wagon, you're quite close to it. Cool. You could trudge over to it.
Right. You can deal with, with one hand still holding. You gesture with all of...
I'll give you a thumbs up.
Whatever you need. I'm gesture to a little bit of shelter.
You head over to the wagon and you put her in there. Mm-hmm. She looks around the wagon, tears streaming down her face.
I am very sorry this has happened to you, but at least you're out of the snow now and hopefully we'll be somewhere safer.
She crawls away from you into the wagon, and there's a little table in the wagon, a food preparation area.
Yep.
She crawls underneath the table.
Okay, yes. I do my best to... Does it look like we're going to be able to move in this sort of rain and snow, or are
it's
we hunkering
gonna be treacherous.
Down for a bit?
Probably hunker down. Yep.
I start maybe clearing a little bit of things so I can start putting together a fire for warmth.
Once we're done with the zombies, I'll
put them in a big old pile.
Put them in a pile.
You're going through them?
I've checked them, apparently. It's apparently all good.
Oh, I meant for like your
monster parts. Of course. I'll have gutted them while I was going through them, checking them.
You might get some monster parts.
Always worth doing.
You absolutely could get some monster parts. It'd probably be a lot less because they...
But they're just,
They're not inherently...
Bogman don't pay out, dude. I know.
Well, you'll get treasure at the very least.
Yeah, that's true.
You get two doses of Death Knight's Woe.
Oh, yeah?
Despite the fact that it is undead bane.
They always have it, yeah.
Well, it grows on them. It's an alchemical process that inverts its properties.
I see.
You get two doses of... Let's say Formianai.
Oh, awesome. Formianai is so useful. Deforms magic.
And looting them, you find a jeweled quiver of 40 arrows.
Do they seem magical at all?
Yes, actually. There seems to be quite a lot of worksmanship put into them. Someone would not do this if they did not also plan on enchanting them. So you think there's either a basic enchantment upon the arrows, or they're arrows, not bolts.
Yeah. Can I not use them?
No.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, you need a... they'll break in your crossbow, basically. Sure. But yeah, someone would not do this if they did not plan on enchanting the ammunition. So it either has a base level enchantment or it is a item that is open to being enchanted. So someone could infuse them with magic.
Yeah.
You find a supple suit of metal armor.
Oh, yeah.
And an elegant folding fan. This one is charged. The workmanship on this, pull it out of a fancy noble woman's pocket. You open it up and you immediately can tell it's humming with magical energy. You know it's an enchanted item of some kind.
What's the suit of armor? If I unfold it, is there like an image on it? Sometimes you'd spread them out. Oh, okay, cool.
The armor is one of the corpses just happened to be wearing it. When you were kneeling down next to him, you put a hand over on his breastplate and wiped across it. Mm-hmm. And you could see that the metal underneath is a dull green color and it has the sigil of a tree growing on it.
Does that mean anything to me?
No.
Okay.
But the armor, quite obviously, you know this metal, it's mithril.
Oh.
This is a nice suit of armor.
Yeah. Well,
Highs or lows?
Highs.
Highs?
Yeah.
You're not sure if it's Tarpos or Goroboloshin, but someone grabs you by the shoulder.
Yeah.
You are about to turn around.
Oh, no. Oh, come on, Adam.
You turn around to tell whoever it is to fuck off you're about to say, and then a zombie lunges for your cheek.
Oh, come on. Come on. That's full on snake eyes.
They got advantage and they rolled 2-1.
Oh, fuck. Thank God.
Lucky boy.
Lucky boy. Oh, my God. For a second, I thought it was me doing a saving throw I'm done. No, it's them. They snake eyes did.
Delayed recovery. You don't add your damage bonus to your attacks for a d4 plus one rounds. Oh, for a d4, for five rounds, they don't They don't get a D4 plus one damage. It's just a D4 damage.
Rat apples.
Oh, no. Four of the corpses are standing back up.
Fucking hell.
Hector, you hear Pip scream. You look away. You look away from the wagon, and you can see Pip is surrounded on all sides.
God's damn.
You're quite far away. Like, in terms of outside of combat, mm-hmm. the wagon isn't far away. But in terms of combat, the wagon isn't close.
Yeah.
You'd be, I think, 160 feet from
okay.
them.
Okay. All right. Perfect. That's good to hear. Cool.
Okay.
Yep.
What would you like to do?
Well, I'll guess I will try to get 120. I guess I'll get 30 feet closer, 60 feet closer.
Okay.
And now, then I'll be
the next turn you'll nearly be in range.
Is it hard to move though with the?
Oh shit! No, good point.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff.
You're fine.
Okay.
Sorry this for turn. Reminding.
No. It's got to be done.
Gorob and Lushan's turn. Highs or lows?
Highs.
Gorob and Lushan aren't very close, but they're close enough to help.
Okay, that's good.
You see them stand up, consider charging over towards you, and then silently they come to a very quick consensus, and instead, Lushan casts a spell.
That's crazy to see. That's insane. Are they well?
Lushan blasts a chilly ray of energy at one of the four zombies. It is buffeted by cold and freezes in place.
Oh, thank God.
A hand reaching out to grab you, Pip. You're down to three.
Okay.
Then it is the zombie's turn. Pip, you are attacked three times.
Oh, fucking hell.
Miss.
Thank God.
Hit.
Fuck.
Miss.
Okay.
Pip, you take 2 points of damage. And you can make a dexterity or a constitution saving throw.
Let's make that dexterity, I reckon.
You pass.
Oh, thank God.
The zombie grabs your arm and tries to bite down. You pull your arm along and you have greaves on your arms. The zombie bites down into the greaves instead. You feel your bone, one of your two bones in your forearm move.
Compress.
Yeah, compress awfully. But you thankfully do not feel skin piercing.
Oh, thank God.
It's Piran's turn. Highs or lows?
Highs.
Piran, who was standing right next to you in this pile, quickly draws his dagger and stabs that zombie in the head. He hits.
Nice.
That zombie falls, slumps forwards. There's two left. Pip, it's your turn.
I'll spin around. Twang, twang.
Hit.
Okay.
You're done.
Let's keep an eye on them, I say. Obviously, you know, we can think we did a good job, but it's so hard to tell if we've done it right. That's... no one's fault, that's just Emmanuel.
Tarpos walks over, looks down at them, with her blood spear, stabs down eight times. Once, neatly, like she's gutting a fish, she stabs down, twists, pulls upwards, and comes away neatly with the person's brain. You don't want to know if she could do that to a living
that's
person.
That's scary.
And then she stabs it down into the heart and replaces it. She does it four times, neatly and evenly replacing. There's not even a chance of doubt. She very easily swaps the hearts and brains.
That's
four
good.
Times.
And I guess if there were any others, they'd have risen by now, wouldn't they? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I say, God damn.
Next time, must make sure. She says.
Yeah. Of course.
Everybody okay?
Yep. Give you a thumbs up. Found some mithril armor here.
What?
I kick it with my shoe. I found some mithril.
I'll come to you.
Yeah, you come to me.
Yeah, right.
You'll come to us.
Right.
You found a mithril armor?
I gesture to the zombie in the mithril armor on the ground.
Oh. It's pretty banged up, but at the very least, the leggings look like they would be useful. You can see there's the big front breastplate part, but when you flip the zombie over, the back part is torn open by something that attacked this person in life. Who's to say? You don't even want to know what sort of a zombie could tear open armor that.
Don't even think
but
about it.
But the leggings look intact and complete. You could, if you wanted to, don don.
Well, let's...
It'll be pretty chilly, but...
Let's just drag them back to the wagon. I'm trying to set up a fire.
All right. I take the fan and the jeweled arrows, and I help drag the armor back to the caravan.
I'll keep Manning trying to light this fire.
You're going to put the pants on?
I'm kidding.
I want to like look.
Make a fire. I'm joking.
Yeah, look at what this—the fan, these arrows, and these these armor does.
You clear some space. Yeah. You get some dry wood from wherever you can, and you make a little fire.
Mm. Nice.
The armor the pants, do they have the tree on it, or was it just the?
It's just the breastplate itself.
Okay. Okay. When we dragged it, did I see the tree?
Yeah, you would have seen it. You know what it means.
Oh, it is.
Go on. You seem to know.
You're so confident.
No, hang on. I need to.
It is the Knights of the Forest.
Of course. It fucking probably is some shit.
It was.
That's me. That's me to her. Let's be honest.
It's made from mithril. It's very strange. It's more for elves in design. And
oh, right.
I believe it is druids. Like a druid.
I thought druids couldn't wear metal.
That is what I thought as well. But I think it's because it's mithril. It might be perhaps special, or is there was an offshoot of perhaps there was a I think there was a joining of forces of the druids and the elves, like the wood elves, I believe.
It is the armor of a knight of the Grotto Guard.
See, it's the armor of the knight of the Grotto Guard, which is
they worship Lupricus, who is the cat god.
Ah. Not at all what I just said. that's right. No, it's not to do with Lupricus. A cat god, because, of course,
god?
You look closely, it's a cat climbing the tree.
Right.
Sure, yeah. Sure enough, he points it out and you can see there's a little cat climbing the tree.
Will they fit your legs?
Well, it's a human being who is wearing
it. Oh, that's true. Yeah, okay.
Right. So the armor, the legs seem fine. I'll put them on next opportunity we get.
I haven't seen a tabaxi in a long time.
There would have been a few at Vagabond.
Yeah.
And literally two, let's say.
And you got a
tabaxi don't seem to be trapped in Barovia much.
I feel like they get out.
Yeah.
They
just get out.
Imagine there's like a hole in the fucking mist somewhere that tabaxi just know how to find.
Yeah, it's like Strahd's like, brand new adventure. Where'd he go?
Welcome to my lair. No, he's fine. We got it over here.
Yeah, it's just got the hole.
It's actually, in my culture, we talk about this. We have a story. There's a little rhyming thing where it teaches you how to find the hole. Yeah. The hole?
What?
Yeah, there's a hole.
I'll
be gone. See you later.
Have a good day.
I'm hungry.
I lay out the fan and the emerald arrows too, or the bejeweled arrows as well.
Sure.
It's for people to take a geese.
It's good to leave that hanging. The quiver and arrows, no one's able to determine exactly what magical properties they have. But once again, it feels very basic or low level. So it's either a very simple enchantment or they have just been opened to magical energies. Sure. The fan, however, Piran holds it up perhaps and says, a wind fan. He says,
that makes sense.
Yes, I know. All fans are wind fans. Yeah. But no, it's a specific, I know the maker, he says, tapping the crane. Once a day, I think it can recreate the effects of a gust of wind spell. It just creates a strong wind, basically.
Good to have.
But every time it's used, there is a chance that it breaks and stops working.
Tell you what, you wouldn't want to get it confused with your regular fan on a hot day, accidentally blow yourself over.
There'll be a word to. He shows you on the handle. There's a word that you say to activate the magical effect.
It might be useful for Jesse to add anyone who wants it.
Yeah.
And the quiver. I mean, you don't use it.
No, I use bolts.
I mean, for Elenial or yourself,
Piran. Yeah, if you want it.
Yes, actually, that might be useful for me. Make my ranged attacks interesting. He says he'll take the quiver of arrows.
What do the leggings, or the Knight of the Grotto leggings, do?
You will need to take some time attuning to them.
Oh.
All right, well, next opportunity.
Yeah. How long does it take to attune to something?
An hour.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if the storm is going to lay up anytime soon. I check in on Iris to see how she's going.
She's still hiding underneath the table. You could see hugging herself and shivering slightly. She's not saying anything. She seems, as I said previously, she seems kind of...
Yeah.
Well, not kind of, sorry. She is. Straight up is disassociating.
Mm. I try and either... I grab like a, either there's like a pebble or something like that that's around, and I just cast light on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know this is not much, but this here, and it is imbued with the, you know, like, I try and make up a, like a nice story, like it is, sure. is the holy energies of Penny. It won't do a lot, but it will protect you as long as you hold on tight to it.
She, unfortunately, you're not a psychiatrist, and so there's not, your ability to help her right now is limited. You're not making anything worse, but you don't think you've made anything better.
If we're near the fire, I can take off my either like cloak and whatever, wrap it around her, or like drape it across her shoulders.
Sure.
Those kind of things. I just try and keep her warm and just kind of keep her like safe, basically, as much as I can.
Yeah, she's got like a 1,000-yard stare, kind of isn't really paying attention.
Then I will, I guess, return out of the wagon to the fire.
Okay, you do so.
I'll just be sitting near the fire, plugging, noodling on my fiddle. Dwing, dwing, dwing. Discordantly.
Good news, bad news? Which would you like first?
Get that bad news.
Yeah, let's get out of the way.
All right, so actually the good news and the bad news are the same thing. The weather changes, but not for the better.
Okay.
Hey.
It starts raining properly, not just the little pitter-patter it was before. It starts raining properly, but it also, the wind starts howling and the snow starts getting heavier. Both... Somehow, it was inevitable. Both levels of cloud cover have gotten worse. Hector,
yeah.
You know this is a precursor to Razor Hail.
We need to get inside.
Yeah, you need to get inside.
All right, I say, are we like under like an awning of sorts out the front of the caravan to keep the snow off?
The caravan itself would have an awning, but that awning would have been destroyed by the
So we were just copping the snow. Yeah, no worries.
Well, you could have been inside.
With the fire?
No, the fire's outside.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I thought we were around the fire. But no, I see what you mean. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, you could have been around the fire if you wanted to.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. Well, the moment the razor hail starts, I'll be like, all right, everybody, chop, chop, inside.
All right, it's cramped. It's not meant for this many people. This isn't... The family of eight were obviously not sleeping inside here.
This was kind of just transport?
Yeah. Mm. Although, well, they would have had tents, which you could... salvage what's left of their tents and maybe set those up if you want.
Do I think that Razor Hail would break through tents?
It might if they're not reinforced, which these ones look like they are.
Okay, do I think we'd have enough time before the rain hit?
You don't know. Okay. You're not that confident on when it's going to happen, you just know Razor Hail's coming.
Well, I let everyone know.
We've got, if we rummage around and we find the tents, like, look, this might be a bit...
cramped.
If we've got time, either set it up so it's like, you know, where the opening is of the wagon.
Oh yeah, so we can attach the tent to the front, just so we can spread out. Well, we can do that because that'll be easier.
Actually, you know what? In fact, I'm sure the tent is probably designed to be able to do that. Mm. So yes, you absolutely could.
All right,
if we have, we'll do it as soon as we like. I feel like the tiniest bit of razor blade. Okay, back at the wagon. Stop. We didn't get it in time.
Yep.
Hopefully, we did.
Beautiful. Great job. Get a good boy card. You do it.
Nice.
You set up a large tent, big enough for eight people to be sleeping comfortably, so there's plenty of room for you.
Fantastic.
A bunch of the camping equipment probably has been lost,
but
between your equipment and what equipment they have, you actually have quite a comfortable night. The tent has an incorporated flue as part of it, so the fire actually can still have the fire.
Beautiful. That's great.
Hmm.
All right, well, I guess we're not, even though it's, you know, probably just the middle of the day when we start setting it up, we're just in these tents for the rest of the day while the razor hail, rain happens.
At a certain point, the sunlight is snuffed out and it's as dark. At 3 p.m., it is as dark as nighttime, and you, Pip, know what that means is about to happen.
Razor hail?
Yeah.
Razor rain?
Or would you like to make a little comment?
I would love, maybe I just point up, here it comes.
And then... It's lots of little impacts on the roof above. The wagon itself, the wooden wagon, begins sagging a little bit, but the tent is designed to be able to handle razor hail, so you're safe and sound in here.
Okay. I'm just comforted imagining, maybe I'm saying this as I pop a little strawberry in my mouth, that I imagine they're getting a bit sloppy at this point. I'm just comforted imagining all those little puppets out there in the woods, destroyed by all of this razor hail.
Mm. Torn up, yes.
Would we all be so lucky?
Getting like a bit of water or whatever, those strawberries, mushing them up, trying to make a nice strawberry tea / jam.
Anyway,
a bit of sweetness.
Piran has a knife in one hand and a sharpener in the other hand that he's procured from the wagon. What part of the rat would you like? He says.
I'm good with the strawberries for the time.
Probably good to have the protein. Give me a drumstick, I say.
I guess, right.
Piran cuts off a bit of rat for everyone.
I'll take the haunch.
I put a little bit of some of the spices that I got to try and make it palatable.
Get some nice, delicious, slow-cooked rat ribs.
Mm. I mean, anything's good, you know?
Yes. At any time, I'll keep checking on Iris to see if they've either, hopefully, like, you know, calming down or getting, you know, if they're flinching from, like, the thing, just try and make them as at ease as humanly possible.
You should just supply them with some food. Just put a plate next to them. They'll eat when they're ready, Piran says.
I make, like, a terrible plate of rat meat and strawberries.
Sure. Serve them a little bit of rat meat and a little bit of strawberries. It, at a certain point in the night, is eaten.
Maybe, like...
Hopefully by her.
Yeah.
Just because this is one of the few times we've had that's like true downtime in such a long time, I'll just try and make polite conversation with Piran.
All right.
You knew Hector?
We had interacted previously where we didn't know each other, but we were on opposite sides of a war.
Oh, that's right.
Before falling into Barovia, we met once, had a little dalliance. Not a dalliance, that implies the wrong thing. We had a more of a caper, I suppose, together.
When you first arrived in Barovia, you said something about Sir Grace.
Well, you know of Sir Grace, right?
Yes, he killed those people in the fight with the Necro Wizard. But I must admit, Hector, when you first brought it up, I sort of thought you would get eaten by a wolf within, you know, the next couple of hours. So I didn't listen,
right? Well,
perhaps as much as I should have, and there's just not really been a time to bring what.
So, I was asked by the head of my church,
right?
It was a joint operation. Yes, Penya. I was asked by my order as a joint operation to work with the Knights of the Crown to go and rescue, or go and seek out, actually, a farseer by the name of Ahelm.
Okay, all right.
And I was paired with Sir Grace and his adoptive daughter. She was there as...
A shrug. Is that the kind of thing that I would have heard of with my minimal knowledge of Sir Grace?
You know about Sir Grace. You definitely don't know about Tifa. Those stories were suppressed. You do not know about Tifa.
His adoptive daughter, a tiefling, actually. Tiefling.
Stupid name, I say.
Yes. Not entirely sure.
Agreed, says so many people.
I thought she was there as perhaps like a squire or something, but Sir Grace did not seem to... really want her around.
Okay.
A lot.
Is she a tiefling?
Yeah, she's a tiefling.
Oh my god.
Yes. I thought Tiffany at the start, but no, Sir Grace was very quick to correct me.
Right.
And was like, no, it's Tiffany.
I have heard that he's a bit of a cunt.
I don't know
where you would have heard that from, because that is definitely not the tales told about Sir Grace. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Would it be the kind of thing where there are these tales told about Sir Grace as a great hero, but there are some people who are like, I've actually worked with him, but it wasn't as awesome.
That's why I assumed Pip would have picked it up. Yeah, you know what?
I thought it would have been great, but
so like, I was, you know the phrase "never meet your heroes."
Yeah,
yeah. Sir Grace really is the epitome of that. A true bastard through and through.
Sir Grace the bastard has a ring to it.
Sir Grace, true bastard.
Yeah, but it wasn't that he wouldn't do, you know, what we needed. It's just more the way he goes about it.
Right.
looking at Pip.
So he's become corrupt. He's taking bribes.
So what happened is, we found a helm, but a helm was obsessed by... something,
right?
By another, whatever it did, it possessed like a beholder. It was so. we managed to free a helm, and it had got control of myself and Tiffany and Sir Grace. I was able to draw on Penny's light, and I could only save one of them. And I chose his daughter, and I don't know if he'd turned yet or not, but the look he gave me, like I'd done the wrong thing.
I say nothing. I just like have a look like, oh boy.
Yes. So then we went back and last I heard, saw Sir Grace has, I think he's become possessed by whatever it was that a helm did. And I made a promise. I said to Tiffany that I'll do everything I can in my power to try and help.
Kill Sir Grace.
Well, break free him from the corruption.
Right, right.
Look, yes, he's not the most nicest of people, but he's still a very great knight. He's a very great...
Piran gives you a little bit of a shrug knight. And says, he kills a lot of people.
Okay, the right people?
Yes, Piran says. Well, I've fought on the other side.
I know it.
You would have heard of his...
Oh,
his,
yeah, I've heard of the exploits of Sir Grace, for sure. What of Unky Dick?
Right, well,
Piran shudders.
In my last I saw of Unky...
Fought very directly opposite him.
Last I saw of Unky Dick, he got his neck snapped.
Oh, that's a shame. Quite liked the Unky Dick stories.
Yes, there's a lot of bloodshed.
Yeah.
Then, yes, so we spoke to a helm, and he, I guess, put us on this. She was going to Unky Dick, his wife, to acquire, I guess, gold, because you know, we need to do something.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Is he in charge of something, or is he just a possessed knight?
To be honest,
we fought a bunch of possessed knights already, Hector.
To be honest, I do not know.
Okay.
From what I can gather, it is, yes, he's leading them in a way. It's him, it's Sir Lyca Silvermoon.
Sir Lyca Silvermoon?
He's semi-famous. I think you don't know much about him. You know him probably by name, mostly. You might know an elf and kind of like a personality opposite to Unky Dick, but his stories were never as interesting as Unky Dick's ones were.
He's a great tactician.
Oh, right.
Yeah, sounds about right. The opposite of
Unky Dick, yeah.
I like that everyone's calling him Unky Dick. His name's Richard Ware.
a very powerful, intelligent, and smart general. To have him on
the opposition
would be... Yes, he knows that...
His leader is possessed.
Yeah, I managed to... before I was trapped in Barovia, I was traveling across all of Kandor to try to drum up some interest, but my order is already predisposed with other things, and I am one knight.
Yeah.
I'm not even really a senior knight.
I was going to say, you are a bit young.
Yeah.
To be leading a revolution.
We've gotten correspondence from Sir Grace that all is well in Fairburn Point.
So he knows you're coming for him.
I don't know if he... No, he knows that I am... No, he knows I'm coming for him.
Lucky you're here. That's a joke. It's obviously incredibly unlucky any of us here.
Yes. It is... I went to somebody for help, and I got her killed.
Oh.
Lady Eidemann. I don't know if you know. I looked at Piran.
Yes, Lady Eidemann, in charge of North Hallow.
Yes, so,
She's dead?
They killed her, and...
Interesting. Princess.
Well, they framed me for it.
Wow. I see.
So, as you can imagine, trying to drum up support...
Yeah, difficult. You're a wanted man.
Going to be even harder. It wasn't actually that long ago, in the 9th.
Well,
yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Time works differently in Barovia, I've heard. So maybe,
yes,
you know.
Right. I fill like, because Piran, like Piran, yeah, you were
Piran came to Barovia basically moments after the two of you stopped seeing each other. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I feel he, like, Piran in on a bit more of the minutiae of like the politics of what's happening that like I'm aware of.
Sure,
it's like, and it yeah.
Right,
going up against it seems again. We don't know the extent. Anyone that we've sent into Fairburn, we just can't hear from.
Yes, Fairburn Point was always a bit of a tough nut to crack. Mm. There wasn't a lot of back when I was working for King Goldcrest. There wasn't a lot of purpose to taking Fairburn Point other than disrupting supply lines and whatnot. Yes. And a lot of people. Yeah. Well, we always for the longest time, we assumed that there was a very well-placed counter-spy network. A lot of people that we sent over just disappeared.
Yes. If whatever it was taking over Sir Grace, if it's so, it felt ancient, like it's always been there, and perhaps it always has. So things have always been a bit tense with Fairburn. But we just never knew the extent. Sunsen apparently was wiped off the map. And
what happened to Sunsen?
We don't know.
Sunsen's wiped off the map.
Doesn't exist anymore, yes.
I don't know.
That's very vague. Give me specifics.
We just came across the refugees.
My God.
Really even get a chance to...
some sort of magical explosion.
Find out what happened. But that was, a city that big, vanishing, and Fairburn never reached out to Kandor. Information is dark there.
Yeah, well.
So, I was...
If only I had access to my old room, he says, back in Goldcrest. The king knew some things, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yes, King Goldcrest loved playing people off each other, never allowing one other person to amass enough power or whatnot. So anyway, after we found out independently that whatever fuckled shit is going on in Fairburn Point is going on, from reactions that I got from King Goldcrest, kind of came to the conclusion that he understood a little bit of what was happening.
That would have been, I guess, useful to know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Not just for you. I lost a lot of people there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, yes, Tiffany was charged with finding the monetary support, and I was trying to find an army. Came here and...
around the tent.
And, I came here and Madame Eva said I would find generals.
Oh.
But,
Well, yes, they're not so bad. Like, maybe push Garbin Lushen a little punch in the shoulder, right?
Garbin Lushen, half asleep. You realize you're a mistake immediately.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What's going on?
Nothing. Go back to bed. Go back to bed.
Okay.
Go back to bed.
It's that nothing. Somehow works.
Perfect.
Thank God.
Because of what is happening in Fairburn, because it is so under wraps.
Well, to be fair, Spy Master's not a bad get. What do you bring to the table?
I'm not part of the Destiny, I say. There's no card for me.
Yeah, well, so nothing is the answer.
He's a good example of what
Tarpos
not to do.
May potentially someday lead a bunch of druids.
Getting hostile in the tent.
So
you started it.
So yes, in back home, asking anyone from Kandor to take up arms against Fairburn Point it is akin to asking for a plea for a civil war. Anyway, in crossing the line to Goldcrest is it's inviting war, as it is another state. And then I came, I guess, Jaren's Outpost, speaking to the Sabres there. But
I had to convert
to their religion. Which, before I could even say no, I had a blinding migraine.
Oh, right.
For 4 days.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing, you can trick them, he says. Piran reaches into his shirt and produces a holy symbol for the Sabres.
Perhaps I could trick them, but...
I've been baptized 3 times, he says.
Perhaps I could have tricked them, but I don't think I could have tricked what was in here.
Oh, yeah, the gods get mad when you do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, she did. That was probably the closest I got. Any further, I could have gone to the gnomes in Zemjata, but once again, it is this problem of you're declaring war on Kandor.
You don't want help from the gnomes, princess. They'll show up with some damn foolish giant man creature thing. Oh, my God. The amount of times I had to steal secrets from them, and the secrets turned out to be how to make a beer golem.
Well, it might be useful.
It's not.
You could either drink way. It.
Turns out, if you operate a frat house, maybe.
Yes, so being a knight of the cloth gives me some leeway in certain areas, but going up against a principality of Kandor, an ally,
it is
an uphill battle.
And now you're trapped here, I say.
Yes.
Now who knows what's happening out there?
Yes.
It's a real stinker.
On that topic, though, I had been thinking about it, and I've come up with a short list of potential allies in the region, but I did have a question. Pip.
Yeah.
What's your current relationship with the Sharpshot Companions? Just because I know they have an offices in the region.
We haven't spoken in a while.
That good, huh? Piran takes out a little notebook and a pencil, and you see he scribbles something in it.
More of the same.
Yeah, more of the same. I'm not good at making friends.
Well.
So, Brovi didn't really change you, huh?
Fuck, dude. Get a good boy card. That's great.
Suppose not.
Even he's getting dings off you now, and he wasn't there for the betrayal.
Right. Well, wish I'd never brought this up.
What happened with them? Another time, perhaps? I sip my strawberry tea.
Yeah, let's save that for another time.
Would you like first watch or
second? I'll take first watch, I say. I'll go outside.
Okay. Stepping out into the haze of razor hail.
Destroy.
A piece of razor hail goes straight through your head, into your neck, into your chest, out your gooch.
Dead. Split in half.
Perfect.
It's exactly how you want it to go. Whoa! This can't go well.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Okay.
What's up, dude?
What terrible things have happened, Adam?
Yeah.
Pip, it takes you a while. It takes you too long.
Oh, no. I'm pissed.
Yeah. You're thinking of other shit. You're the tent, this massive tent has a vestibule area. Mm. So you can be sitting in that. There's cover over you and you can just look out into the wet.
Mm-hmm.
The snow, while it is currently snowing, it is mostly dissipated on the floor. What's happening is the snow hits the ground, the snow and ice hits the ground, water and hail packs it in, and it becomes a layer of ice over everything. So you can see a thin, clear layer of ice covering everything, making travel of any sort hazardous. Probably for the best that you stopped
bunk
when
it down,
you did.
Yeah.
Going uphill in this.
You wouldn't. You just couldn't
recipe,
do it. Yeah.
Is a recipe for, at best, a twisted ankle.
Yeah.
You hear, once again, way, 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 way too late, screaming.
Oh, no. What kind of screaming?
It sounds like the wailing of masses of people.
Oh, no. Can I identify that as anything just, like, from that?
Bogman?
Bogman, does it sound like is it a bogman scream? Does it sound like
No, it doesn't sound like a wail. It sounds like people in pain and agony.
Can I see any lights?
Once you've started listening out for it, you realize you've been hearing it for a while. It was dull a little bit over the rain, but then also you were somewhere else entirely. Those two things combined, meaning that it's actually quite loud now, and you realize you should have heard this a long time ago.
Oh, I know what that is. I'd like to bang on the canvas of the tent and get people outside.
Everyone?
No, just like whoever's awake, just to let them hear the screaming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So are you trying to rustle up everyone or just the awake people?
Well, I think that the Mondo Defender, because I can hear it screams, it's coming for us? Are the screams getting louder?
They are getting louder. You don't know if it's coming for you.
Well, yeah, it probably would be worthwhile having everybody up and about, actually. So I'll get everybody. I'll rouse everybody.
Okay.
Maybe I stick my head
What the devil is happening?
I put my hand on his face. Mondo Defender, I say. It's like a wheat defender, but way worse. Imagine a gigantic scarecrow full of screams.
I know this creature, says Tapos.
Well, it's coming. You can hear it. Those screams, that's the Mondo Defender. Couple of things. Uh-huh. Don't you ever think about using lightning damage to attack this. You electrocute this thing, it'll get supercharged and we'll all be in trouble. Tapos, can you summon a crow?
Tapos can make a crow.
Make a crow.
Okay.
Second question. And I don't think that anybody's going to... Has anybody's weapon never touched blood? Anybody got a brand new sword that they've been hiding? Brand new dagger?
Kieran pats himself down.
The mess was that I used the spear on the... Does it need to be alive? Blood? No, I got the hag. No.
It has been known that a bladed weapon, which has never seen blood or known blood or ever worked with blood in the past, would make a sufficient weapon and overcometh any defenses that a Mondo defender should have to defend itself with defensively.
I mean, I could... I can dismiss the pack weapon that I have and then resummon it.
Uh-huh.
Would that work?
It doesn't feel like it would work. It feels like you're getting the same weapon back.
No, I cannot.
Otherwise, we're talking immunities to poison, cold, necrotic, lightning, thunder, and psychic damage, and everything else is only going to hurt it a little bit.
Not radiant.
No, it doesn't mention
regular magic. Magic weapons is fine?
Yes, regular magic weapons is fine, but it's not going to do much.
As
not anywhere near as much as a weapon that's never touched known blood or worked with blood in the past.
Your bolts, your bolts have not touched, but
your crossbow has.
So, yeah, unfortunately, I wish we could get it on a technicality.
How does this magic
no such
work?
Luck.
What about a sharpened stick?
If the sharpened sticks never touched blood before, you'd be in the money.
Right.
If you can make a weapon right now, again...
I look around, like, the wagon. Is there anything I could just,
there's a bunch of cutlery knives.
Like, is it a bit of wood that we can just quickly sharpen?
You rustle up a sharp stick.
Sharp stick?
Letting you know, I will probably count this, or I think it's fair enough to count this. If you're using it as a weapon, I think it's fair enough that it should count. It's a weapon that has never tasted blood before. However, the rules for improvised weapons mean you will be attacking with disadvantage.
Look, it'll work, but I mean, it is still just a pointy stick.
Piran interjects. Did you say that magical weapons are also good?
Yes.
Well, Hector, is your weapon magical?
Yes. Yes. Did you want the... I give him the stick.
Well, I have the arrows now.
Right.
Gordobin Lushin's sword is magical. How did you know? And Tarpos's spear is magical.
Right.
I guess.
I'll just suffer. It's fine.
Well, it's just good to know you're here for moral support.
Pip, here's the stick.
Oh,
I
thank you.
I give Pip the stick.
Thank you very much. Only warning everybody about the Mondo Defender.
And it was very useful that you did.
Shut up.
And anything else?
Yes.
Are the screams getting louder?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The noises it's making is not doing it right now, but they can instill a kind of fear response in you. So be wary of that, and don't let them grab you as well because they're grapply.
Is there anything around, like the like cottony thing that I can plug my ears?
Sure, I'm sure you could find some bedding or something like that and plug your ears with that.
I tear some up and hand it around.
Yeah, all right.
Everyone plugs their ears.
I guess before keep talking, and then when you're finished, we'll plug them.
All right.
Anything else?
No, nothing else. No, that was it. Well, it'll go for the crow. The crow that Tarpos is summoning, it's going to focus its
Tarpos
fire on
that. Tarpos realizes left the tent.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Tarpos okay? Not what I asked. I think Tarpos is going to transform into a crow. So Tarpos is going to be suffering most of the fire.
I just poke my head out. Is Tarpos there?
You see Tarpos in the tree line.
What are you doing? Towards the whales or the...
Well, it's hard to tell exactly where the whales... It's because you're on a mountainside, it echoes.
They haven't turned into a crow yet.
Well, maybe they are just
You could see they're climbing a tree.
They're climbing a tree.
Well, maybe they are just going to summon a crow. We've got no way of knowing, and it's not worth it to run over there and ask.
Highs or lows?
Highs.
The screams are getting louder and louder, but they're still not here. Tarpos climbs back down, and you see they're cradling something in their hands. Tarpos, shielding the thing from the rain, comes back into the tent, and you see they're holding a crow.
She's got a crow.
So the Mondo Defendo is going to focus its attack on the crow. They'll always go for a crow before us.
Tarpos has a brief, like,
If the crow's quick enough, it should be fine.
Do we want to...
Tarpos whispers something to the crow.
Will it chase the crow?
Yes.
So if the crow flies down the mountain, will it chase the crow?
Otherwise, it would be wise to have a crow or similar, but not different, bird handy, as the Mondo Defendo will still target them before known others.
So will it just chase the crow down?
It should. I've never fought a Mondo Defendo before. I've just heard about it.
Don't do anything and bunker down and be quiet while the crow leads it down the mountain?
We could give it a try, I say, but be ready for it to not work.
Crow distraction. Crow start fly. Razor hail kill pretty quick.
Right.
The razor hail. I guess the razor hail isn't doing anything for it. We have to...
Highs or lows?
Highs.
You hear something that stops your heart. A sliver of ice runs down your back.
Oh, no. Is that thunder?
Oh, yeah.
Is that lightning?
How tall
is it? Very, very frightening.
How tall is it?
It's gigantic.
It's huge.
So it's probably the tallest thing if... is lightning close?
Oh, God, that's the sound of it coming. What if we make it not the tallest thing in the forest? And what if we fell it like a tree?
Let's go to initiative. You don't know it yet, but you're in initiative.
Oh, my God. This is so bad. This is at the end of Emmanuel. They did not think we would be encountering this.
Strahd comes before this.
Strahd comes before the Mondo Defendo.
I guess, though, technically...
No, that makes sense. You're going to encounter Strahd before you encounter this.
What I'm thinking is, though... Like, if you're counting Elainiel's encounter, encounter Strahd first.
Emmanuel was right.
All right, everyone needs to make a... Wisdom saving throw. Cool. The screaming becomes very intense.
Does the bedding help?
Well, you were still talking.
He's right.
You give a +5, which is fucked. Yeah. So that's +8 for you. Pass. You also pass. Gorob Lushan pass. Tarpos passes. Pirin. Oh, no.
What happens with the screaming?
They become stiff and unable to move and in perfect grabbing location for the Mondo Defendo.
Pirin, you see two lines appear as strike-throughs on Pirin's eyes. Some magical effect has consumed him. He stops moving.
God. Oh, God.
And, Heck, it's your turn.
Oh, no. Can I wad up those...
What did you just say?
Wad up.
Wad up, dude.
Wad up. I thought you said,
Can I just wad up?
Wad up.
Can I wad up those bits of bedding and quickly put them into... Pirin's ears.
Oh, Pirin's ears. Mm-hmm. Okay. It might be too late.
God damn it.
I mean, you can.
I'm like, will this help?
Too late. Do it to someone else.
Okay, do it to myself.
I don't know if it says there, Pirin needs magical healing or for the scarecrow to be reduced to 0 hit points. Okay. Those are the only two ways
awesome.
Of fixing
this. Awesome. Magical healing or kill the big scarecrow.
That's going to suck for him. Put it on his hand on him and cure wounds level 2, the gross kind,
nasty cure wounds.
Pirin recovers 14 hit points and doesn't seem too bothered by where it came from.
Hey, I guess
that was good for him.
Yeah,
that was your action, Hector. What else would you like to do?
Can I look outside without stepping into razor hail?
You see two legs. It's.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
oh
It's not really properly pants. It's more like sheet cloth, like sails from a boat that have been fashioned into pants. There are two giant appendages made out of straw and corpses sprouting from out under those two legs. You look slowly up, and the vestibule eventually cuts off around the creature's, I would say, maybe like their midsection.
Okay. I mutter, Eileen, which will be a curse, and I Hexblade curse him.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
And then I will, I guess, just grab my spear and shield and ready myself for what will inevitably happen.
Pip.
I'm going to squat down and make a concoction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to combine a hag eye for accuracy,
yep.
Some treant poison for plant's bane, and a formian eye to deform magic. And I'm going to try and make something I can stick my arrows in that when it embeds in the plant parts of the Mondo Defender, it starts to disrupt the magic that keeps it, like, animate. It's a being made of sticks and moss and
yes.
shit. So
you successfully get 5 doses
mm-hmm.
For your weapon. Your next 5 attacks will deal extra damage as it deforms and warps the magic and kills the... It's already dead, but decays at the straw of this creature.
Sweet.
That's your action. You've got a bonus action and movement.
Maybe as a bonus action, I'll just Hunter's Mark it. Why not? It's a bonus action.
So you move into the vestibule so you can see it?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
Yeah, put the...
Yeah, and oh, wait. Is putting the cotton in my ears an action?
I would mark that as an interaction.
All right, so I'll do that too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. As you move out into the vestibule, you produce from in your backpack... your belt or whatever, you produce a little pouch, mm-hmm. Of garlic powder, of crushed up, ground up beetle parts, and like flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You throw that at the creature. It's also covered in tar. The thing hits the Mondo Defender, the greater mm-hmm. scarecrow, and explodes open, creating a very vibrant and easy-to-see target to fire
perfect.
At.
Perfect.
Tarpos runs out into the razor hail, taking 1 point of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry, 2 points of damage, 1 point of bludgeoning, 1 point of cold.
God damn it. Wait, she feels cold now?
That she takes cold damage.
Yeah, she just doesn't get chilly, I guess.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's like,
right.
Oh, you don't mind the hot weather. You're standing on the sun now, though.
I thought you were like, she cold damage because cold.
Yeah, you told people not to do lightning, right?
Yeah.
You just prevented. Because Tarpos is like, lightning spell strong now.
No.
Tarpos charges in with her spear, with the blood spear, and attacks with that. That's a hit. And Piran from the vestibule fires with his short bow. Piran.
It's a big Piran.
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 Piran. The arrow embeds itself in the greater scarecrow, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like a lolling corpse sagging out of the creature that isn't actually properly, like the magical equivalent of a toenail or something like
that. Yeah.
He strikes that and you can see it's done no damage.
Nasty.
Then it is Korob and Lushin get into the vestibule. They look at you, Pip, mm-hmm. and they say, "Can we charge?"
I think so.
They charge.
Okay.
Taking 1 point of cold and 1 point of bludgeoning. And then they're going to attack twice.
Great.
First attack, miss. Second attack, critical hit.
All right.
It's happening.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Sweep the legs. Maximum damage and the target must make a DC 16 dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, the target is prone.
Oh, that's my God.
Good.
Timber! Well, that's great. That means when the lightning hits, hopefully, it'll go for the trees and not the Mondo Defender.
Oh, you know what? Actually, instead of that, half a compliment sandwich.
Yeah.
Jackson, Zaman, both of you are dressed impeccably today.
Thank you so much.
You both have incredible outfits. I love the look that you have today.
Adam.
It's not a critical hit.
Adam.
Still a hit.
Yeah. I guess. He nearly fell over.
And then plot armor. Player rolls damage twice and takes lower result.
Adam!
Dirtbag.
The Mondo Defender, mm-hmm. the Greater Scarecrow, leans down so that you can see in the vestibule its face. Okay. And then... you hear the screams of the damned. It is... obviously, it's not like a plaid shirt and fucking jeans. The clothes are just made out of whatever fabric was
big
enough.
Does it have more of like a Wicker Man vibe rather than a Scarecrow vibe?
Yeah, it's got a distinct Wicker Man vibe, yeah. It's a lot of straw, but there's also sticks, twigs, even like a tree, it looks like, mixed in there. But there is corpses throughout the entire creature, they were just another building material. It looks like a giant bird's nest has been stuffed into canvas clothing.
Oh my god.
And then it attacks.
Oh good. Oh awesome. We're all together. Oh, that's cool.
The crow?
The crow though. The famous crow.